The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7 o'clock on Monday night. Well, that's Central. 8 o'clock Eastern time. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. Dave, did I give the name of the show or no?
Yes.
I got lost in the fact of I didn't do the Eastern time and like completely spaced on everything else.
No,
the Odyssey Files, just in case I didn't say that.
Right, and you have permission to say exactly what the name of the show is tonight.
Yes, I do.
Right, because you sent that to me. So yeah.
So anyways, the other voice you're hearing is my co-host Dave Sawyer, who I haven't introduced yet, like I always do. You know, when I said that you and I, Dave, are just going to sit back and let our guests do this show, I had no idea how badly I would just be stepping back and not thinking about anything.
So, well, okay.
So, yeah. All right. So we started out on a good thing. So
right.
Our guest, who is now the only person to be in the 4-time guest Hall of Fame,
woo!
It is our good friend, Ms. Dana Mitchell. Good evening, Dana. How are you?
Good evening. Oh, thank you for having me on your show again.
Oh, absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for being here, Dana. Appreciate it.
Especially when I'm like, Dana, can you do next Monday?
That shows how active my life is. I'm like, yeah, sure. How about tonight? Tonight? Okay.
You guys got something going on Tuesday and Wednesday too? Because I got a little free time on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mike, you didn't say the name of the show though. You got to say the name of the show.
I'm getting to that.
Okay. All right.
So the reason why Dave is so excited about
it's our inaugural. I love the name of the show. So
yeah, so do I. Last year, unfortunately, which was the last time you were on, Dana. After the show, we were chatting. And you had said to us that you could just talk about any random shit that you wanted to. And so I was like, all right,
that's right.
That's what we're going to do. Let's have a show where it's just random shit with Dana Mitchell.
Right. I am a living in a random world, and I am a random girl.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
And the reason why we could say the name is so the other day contacted the powers to be. And I was like, okay, I'm like, are we able to actually say the name of the show without having to be like random beep, you know, with Dana Mitchell? And she's like, yes, that's fine. I'm like, sweet. And I was like, well, how about then in general, I'm like, can we just say it in general? You know, not in context of the show name.
Right.
And she's like, well, as long as you don't use the F word, you can say whatever. And I'm like, this show just got far more entertaining.
I will keep that in mind.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yes. So Mike sent that to me, and I sent back a great big smiley face and said that, like, something to the effect of, let the games begin, I think.
Yes. pretty much.
Pretty much. So I could actually use some colorful metaphors. Yes, exactly. Without having to worry about getting in trouble. So I'm excited.
Yes. And now I don't have to do my glare face at Dave right. every time I hear right. slip.
Yes, which he does. I'll be like, damn, did you see that? Oh, oh! And I'll get the mic face and it'll be like glaring at me and I'll be like, what? It was just, what? It's what I needed to say. What was I supposed to say?
No, yeah. No, not damn. Damn has never gotten you the glare face. So, but you do let the shit word out quite, oh, it feels so good to be able to say that. I'm sorry. It's such a.
How about the B word and the C word and the B word?
Well,
and the M word. No, I can't say that.
I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't say the C word. Just out of just.
I'm joking.
But
I'm joking. I talk like a Sunday school teacher.
Good. You do not.
No, you do not. Yeah. A Sunday school teacher at Farrar, maybe, but
yeah.
Nice. Okay, so right now we're not doing what we should be doing. Dana,
we're just focusing on the show, right?
Yes. Take it away with topic number one.
Well, I thought I would go back and talk about my trip to Williamsburg. Now I know your listeners, or maybe they can. I don't know. See my pictures that I sent you, but I will describe them in great detail.
There you go.
So my husband and I went to Williamsburg, Virginia over Christmas. And for those of you on the other side of the country, it's like a living history. It's a town that was restored, I think, during the 1930s by the Rockefellers. And it's like a 17th century colonial town. It is the seat of America, people. It is where we were founded. And it's living history. So, but people live there, but they have like ye old blacksmith and ye old wig maker and so forth. But it's very nice to visit. They get a lot of tourists. So we were there over Christmas because we're old and we like to look at the Christmas wreath. That's what happens when you're over a certain age. You find great joy and well, those are made with magnolia leaves, aren't they, honey? Yeah, look at this one. It has pomegranate. So
I think that's age 30, isn't it, Dana? Isn't it when you're over 30?
Yeah.
You enjoy looking at the wreaths? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So Dana, for those of you that are listening into the chat room, which you can come into at parax.com, I did post the photos that you are going to be talking about in the chat room.
Okay. Thank you.
So continue.
So I haven't taken any photos in a long time. I used to get like really good captures, but I didn't have to keep proving that there was an unseen world around us all the time. So I haven't taken any pictures in at least a year, but we're walking through the town. Now there's some kind of event going on, a lighting ceremony or something. So all the tourists, the visitors are down at the other end, but we're going in the opposite direction because we're food motivated. And I see this house and just my spidey sense says, take a picture of this house. So I took like four pictures of the house and there wasn't anything in the first picture. And I stepped a little bit closer. And now my husband, who's a skeptic, was right with me and he could attest there was no one in front of the house. There was no one walking by. And so in like the third picture I took, the transparent jogger shows up along with his friend, whatever the heck that is, dressed in black, this entity wearing a long black robe, somewhat like the Grim Reaper.
Well, did you notice that that's looking at you when you took the picture?
No, I did not.
I didn't
see anything when I took the picture. There was no one in front of the house.
No, I mean, just taking, because I'm just looking at the pictures for the first time. And Mike had just sent them over to me. And if you take a look at the figure that's dressed in black, he's literally looking right at you. You can see his face clear as day.
What? I guess I don't get that at all. I think he's walking down the street.
Nope. If you zoom in on it a little bit, you can see he's looking right at you. Yeah, anyway, so there's absolutely nobody in from where you are to that White House. There's absolutely nobody there, including the lady
absolutely
in the background.
Absolutely nobody.
Okay.
Including the what?
The lady in the background closest to the house?
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
Okay.
But there was nobody there. And
but you felt something.
You know, I took that with my Android, with my Galaxy 7.4V or whatever the heck it is. It's not the best phone in the world. No offense, Galaxy. But
better than iPhone.
Yeah, there was nothing there. And, you know, like I said, my skeptical husband, this is one of the only things he has no explanation for. And then, you know, like I said, I took like four shots, and in the second shot, we see the transparent jogger moving farther along. I don't know why there'd be joggers there. When I talked to the gentleman who calls himself the ghostographer of Williamsburg, he said he's got another jogger, ghost joggers on the streets of Williamsburg. So, yeah, after I saw those pictures, there are a number of ghost tours in Williamsburg. And but the one is a man who calls himself the ghostographer. So I sent the pictures to him and to see what his opinion was on them.
And what did he say?
And he said he had gotten captures of the black hooded entity before as well. And, like, he's taken thousands of pictures, so a ghost jogger was, another ghost jogger. He was more interested in the black hooded figure. So I actually took more pictures around there and got some, you know, like ghostly faces and things that some people could rationalize as, pareidolia, you know, but... there's no question about the black figure and the gray and the jogger.
Exactly. And Dana, I'm just curious on. So the two pictures you sent us out of the four you took, was that what numbers were these?
I think they were 3 and 4.
Okay. So in 1 and 2, you got nothing, but you felt like something was there and you needed to take a picture, right?
Yes. I actually thought something was going to show up in the windows. I didn't, it never crossed my mind that I was going to get such clear images of these figures. Right. And according to the ghostographer, he said when he has better equipment than I do, but when he enlarged the pictures, he could see other figures in it as well.
Okay.
So
my question for you is, you know, on the left-hand side, which... let's just say that the third picture you took had both the ghost jogger in gray and the black hooded guy. And then the fourth picture would be the gray hooded guy or the gray jogger guy farther along and no black hooded figure guy. But to the left of that, like to the left of the tree and to the left of the house, there's like, I can't quite tell what it is. I'm going to say it's some kind of, like brick made structure for something, and it looks like there's a cat perched on it, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I could see other things to the left of that house, but I couldn't really make out what they were, so I didn't, you know, assume anything. There were some things.
I'm curious, how far apart would you say you took the pictures?
Oh, I took them one after another.
So they were like rapid succession?
I wouldn't say rapid. It was like click, and then, you know,
a couple seconds,
turning my phone around, dropping the phone.
Okay.
Click, and then click, and click. Yeah.
Okay, because the only reason I ask is because the lady that I see, like, right next to the tree in the third picture, in the fourth picture, she's actually walking up to that brick structure, like, looking at the cat or whatever it is, and she's, like, looking at it, which I find
I don't think there were any cats because...
it's something.
I mean, there may be something, but I don't think cats are allowed to wander about this town. This town is a cross between a restored living history village, and there are people that live there. But the people that live there, I think, also work there. But I don't think, you know, cats are allowed to roam freely.
Well, the only reason I said that is because it kind of looks like it's perched like a cat, is why, like, if it were sitting
it
there.
It could be a gargoyle.
Yeah, maybe. Right, it could be.
No, I don't know. You know, that's why I didn't get into what was over there, because I saw stuff, but I really wasn't sure. So the Grim Reaper was interesting on it enough.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Mike and I have our next vacation spot. We're going to Williamsburg.
I think so.
We're going to Williamsburg, and we're taking pictures everywhere we look.
Every week it changes.
Every week it changes, exactly.
So another interesting thing there, when you get to, like, I don't know, I don't want to say conspiracies and all, but I teach, you know, like I talk random shit. I teach random shit. So I do little classes on different esoterica. So I've been teaching about these two pillars that's used in a lot of occult teachings, Boaz and Joachim. And they're supposedly based off of pillars that were on the first temple of Solomon. And the Masons use it, and I guess the Knights Templar did, and Rosicrucians, and they're on the tarot cards, on the High Priestess, and on the moon. They're just two pillars, and one has a B on it, and one has a J on it, and there's different definitions or speculations or what it means, and supposedly they represent, you know, the feminine energy is to the left and the masculine energy to the right, or truth and justice, or there's a lot of different definitions, but the Masons use it. When my father passed away, I had a Masonic ceremony for him, and they took little pillars, about not even 2 feet high, I guess, and put them in front of his coffin there to do their ceremony. So anyway, and I've also been teaching a lot about what's called sacred geometry and the perfection of certain measurements and things found in nature. One of them is the rectangle. And so we pass this building in Williamsburg, and there's two, like, round turret type things on either end. And I think it's like the courthouse or something. And then a rectangular space in between. And then one of these people in costume, who's like a docent or the guide or something, he's an older guy, and he's standing there. And my husband looks at this building, and he says, that reminds him of the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, the way it's designed. Well, it doesn't look anything like that to me. It's red brick, and that's just what my husband was seeing. But I said, no, it looks to me like the pillars, Boaz and Joachim, and the sacred geometry of the rectangle. And this guide says, I don't hear anything. I don't know anything. I didn't hear that. And then he walked away. And I thought, what the heck was that about?
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
I know.
Did you find out?
No, it's just part of my random world. So the Masons were paramount in organizing this country in the early days. And I mean, they probably did have to do with the architecture, but I don't know, you know, why it would get that kind of response from the docent.
I got it.
Why would freak them out?
You freaked the guy out, man. He probably spent the next week, like, in rehab, was like, oh, my God, somebody figured it out.
I know.
I think that's a little extreme, but.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm sure he's fine now. You blew his mind, though, for a minute, I know.
It's what I do.
So Dana, let's say for an instant, out of a hypothetical situation, that you are exactly right, that is exactly the way that building was designed. What does that do or mean?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know why that has been kept such a secret or mystery, those type of things. Like, if you look at all the cathedrals around the world, most of them have like twin towers on either side of them. Like, if you looked up on the internet, cathedrals, so many of them, and those are supposed to be representative of the pillars, Boaz and Joachim. And I agree. I don't get it. Why? But they say that back in the day when they had these mystery schools and things, that they didn't feel just anybody could understand these concepts. And if they got out as common knowledge, then it would be considered heresy. And the whole world would end as we know it.
Well, that's interesting.
But I think a lot of things that used to be considered secrets or secret knowledge or ancient wisdom or have come out now.
Dana, do you think that something like that design could be potentially be like an energy portal?
Yeah, I was thinking that myself as a possibility. Because geometric designs are supposed to have an energy frequency all of their own.
Right.
So it could very well be.
Right. And maybe that's why that guy freaked out.
Like in biblical things, they were always saying, and it said this many cubics by that many cubics. And so why would that be important to know?
Right. Right. Like they were specifically measuring it, you know, for future knowledge or future reference anyway. Yeah.
So do you all mind if I vent for a moment? I won't name any names.
Dana, this is your show.
Yeah.
This is my show. Okay, I'm going to vent. There is a certain guru type person. I won't even be gender specific. I don't want anyone to get in trouble or sued for libel or something. I'm hip to the jive. So there's a certain New Age guru type person who made quite a fortune off their books and workshops and seminars. And they came out with a number of packs of cards that may be called oracle cards. And this was for many, many years. And they lived on an island paradise and then suddenly shifted gears, suddenly became much more entrenched in another religion, which is fine. Everybody needs to find their truth. But then proceeded to totally knock down everything they'd been teaching for decades and saying, I know I taught you all this, but I'm sorry. And even on their website have A to Z list of everything that's bad in metaphysics or the New Age or paganism and even includes, you know, some alternative Christianity type thoughts. I mean, it's everything. And even had the spoons to say, and if you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe this is true, that's because you're being influenced by demons. So,
good God,
it just infuriates me because, I mean, so many people invested their time, money, and truth in this person's teachings. And now it's like, hey, haha, silly me, I was all wrong. And if you don't think I am, then you're being influenced by demons. Carry on.
So let me ask your thoughts on this then. So if they switched gears completely and then said, if you believe that you're being influenced by demons, does that mean that this person was being influenced by demons the entire time?
Yes, that's what this person said. And some of the things this person taught were about angels, and now she says they weren't angels, they were demons disguised as angels.
We're going to figure it out, Data. You just gave us the sex of this person.
I don't have a 3-second delay.
No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. This is nothing more than opinions anyway. So,
yes, it is.
So, I guess my big question would be, if you teach a specific type of philosophy or learning, you know, in whatever it might be, and you do it for a decade or so, and then all of a sudden, and you're charging money along the way the whole entire time, and then all of a sudden you shift gears, which I agree is totally fine, okay? But then you start lambasting your followers for following you. Shouldn't there be some sort of like, I'm sorry I did that, here's your $299.95 back for the seminar that you attended?
Absolutely. That's what my vent is, hence the vent.
I agree. I would agree with that. That upsets me. So, yeah.
Now, I know this person cannot refund all the money for the books and cards that this person created, but certainly there must be a spreadsheet somewhere showing all the people that took the seminars, workshops, and certification programs.
Right. And now you're saying that that's all hogwash. And now you need to basically flush all that down the toilet and start over.
Right. And this person's disassociated themselves from their former publishing company. And they make it sound like they're having quite a loss as well. But I have a hunch that they have just found a new audience. I used to be a new age guru until I
realized that I was being influenced by demons. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Which is BS.
So there's my vent.
That's
okay. Trouble, but it's something that just really chapped my butt.
Yep. You can even say ass now.
Right.
Oh, I'll write that down.
Yep, put that down. Because you could say, man, that really chapped my ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing that I know that Dave and I haven't took. That sounds, I guess I can't really say it sounds a lot, but in the sense of having people ripped off, I mean, a lot like Ryan Buell and what happened with him.
Same thing popped into my head.
Oh yeah,
talking about it. Yeah.
But I mean, he didn't exactly. He just kind of just didn't show up. But I mean, he hasn't come out and been like, haha, you guys got fooled. I mean, or anything like that. So he hasn't done anything that bad. So whatever this person is doing, and when we come, you know, while we're on break here in a couple seconds, Dana's going to tell us the name.
But we're But we are not going to say it, obviously.
Well, no, we're not going to say it. I just want to know because right. it's going to bug the crap out of me not until I know. Do.
Right.
So, well, you need to go also read the A to Z compilation of everything that's
yes
demonic.
yes. I'm sure we do something that's on that list.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure. I mean, breathing is probably on there, knowing people like that. So,
well, transformative breath is. Yeah, don't breathe too deeply.
What is transformative breath?
Like meditation breath.
Okay, well, yeah. Meditation would have been okay.
Not good. No meditation.
No meditation.
No nothing anymore. You'll just have to see it. And I bet your listeners are just itching. Yeah, well, tell us.
Too bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
If a listener can figure it out, I will be more than right. happy to say it on air. But until such times, this woman will have to be unknown to everyone but the three of us.
Agreed.
Yes, I think I've been very discreet.
You have been. Wonderfully.
Yes. I have no idea who it is. But okay, on that note, we're going to go to commercial.
Bye, suckers.
you'll be back, Dana.
Don't hang up, Dana. We're coming back.
You have another half hour to go.
Oh, cool.
Half hour, but this one went fast, though. So.
Yes. Yeah. So we will be back here in a couple minutes with our guest, Dana Mitchell, on the first installment of Random Shit with Dana Mitchell. you are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
UFOs. Bigfoot. Cryptids.
All the shit on the coin. Just think if you listen to the words of Para X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view. Back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
And we're back. And we know the name, and we're not going to say it. Ha. So.
And neither Dana nor I interrupted because we were right on the cusp of interrupting.
I'm seeing you over time. I'm like, we're coming back.
we had about 2 seconds to spare when we got our last word in, so.
Well, I appreciate your restraint, Dave and Dana.
You're welcome.
Of course. I am not unfamiliar with litigious things. So, better to be safe than sorry.
I agree. So, is there anything that you wanted to add to this woman?
No.
Or was bent over?
I guess basically vent is over. I could go on, but it would just become redundant. And it's, you know, just I need to let it go and move on. Except I'm being influenced by demons, so who knows?
I don't think you necessarily need to let it go, because there's a betrayal here. You know, you trusted this person to believe in the same thing as you did, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Ha, that's trash. Sorry about that, buddy."
Yeah. Honestly.
There is a sense of betrayal of trust here. So I can completely understand why you would need to vent and why you would be angry. And I'm sure you're probably not the only one.
Oh, well, no. Everybody I know who hears about it is, like, shocked. They're not shocked at this person's conversion, because we all know you have to find your own truth. But they're shocked at this, like, turnaround on this person's followers. In fact, I knew somebody here in Shepherdstown who moved to this island paradise to be closer to this person.
Oh.
And then this person moved away from the island paradise. And so I'm wondering how my former associate here feels if she's been left high and dry. But I guess on a good note, it got her to an island paradise.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, well, whether this person is there or not, you still live on an island paradise.
Yeah. But let me tell you, moving from West Virginia to this island paradise would have been no small feat. Would have taken a great deal of energetic investment.
Well, I would imagine not only financially, but also probably, you know, with when you move to an island paradise, a lot of times they want to make sure you can afford to live there. So they want to see investment portfolios or annuities. You have to potentially give up citizenship and or have part-time citizenship. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, hey, we're just going to pick up, fly over here with a couple of bags of clothes and call ourselves, you know, so-and-sos. And I don't want to give away any names because I might accidentally say the name of the island paradise and then I'd feel bad.
Yeah.
But,
so I will go on to my next random subject, which is the Mandela effect.
Okay.
Ooh.
Now, you all are familiar, you and your listeners are familiar with the Mandela effect?
No, have no idea. It just sounds really cool.
Okay. Well, I don't sleep well at night. When you get over a certain age, women just stop sleeping. And if I go online, I see all my friends are online at 3 in the morning, too.
I was wondering, because I work overnight, and so I'm always up. And the other day, I got an email from him. It was like 3 in the morning, or it would have been your time. And I'm like, what is she doing up so late?
we can't sleep. So oftentimes I find myself at the, on the odd side of the internet at those hours of the morning. And the Mandela effect is a thing that a lot of people talk about, and it gets its name from, a lot of people remember Nelson Mandela dying in jail. They remember the funeral. They remember the television coverage. They remember all about it. Only Nelson Mandela did not die in jail. He died like in 1990. When did he die? 2013 or something. Or 90s. I don't know when he died, but he didn't die in jail.
No, he
didn't. At all.
Nope.
No.
He was
but
in jail.
A lot of people remember that and swear up and down that he did.
Nope.
So, there are other things that they bring to mind. One of them is, What is the last line of the Queen song? We are the champions. We are the champions. We are the champions. And what's the last line?
Of the world.
Except they never sang that. They just end on "We are the champions."
Are you sure?
And then it trails off.
I heard that.
I swear I heard it.
I swear I heard it too.
That, well, that's the Mandela effect. Only instead of the Mandela effect being just another term for people's collective selective memory, they actually think it's like a rift in the Matrix, or we've gone over into an alternative universe, or there's even those who say that we all died in 2012 and we're really like shifted over into the next dimensional Earth. So some of the other things.
Well, wait a second.
Let's see. Some of the other things is the Baron. Do you, either of you have children?
Yeah, I have three.
There's a children's book, a series of books called The Berenstain Bears.
Yep.
And people swear up and down that it used to be the Berenstain Bears or the Berensteins. And I happen to know it was Berenstain Bears because I'm pedantic, and when I was reading it to my kids, I was like, what is this name? So I looked at it carefully, and it was Berenstain.
Yep.
But people are saying, no, it used to be Berenstain. And another one is like JCPenney used to be P-E-N-N-E-Y, and now it's just P-E-N-N-Y. Well, companies change their logos and marketing.
Right.
That's why I say I'm not convinced of this. There are some compelling things, though. Like, who was the representative on Publishers Clearinghouse? Who was the one who would bring you the huge check to your door if you won?
Oh, I know that. I know that one.
I do, too. It was Dick Clark, wasn't it? No. No.
It was the guy that used to host Star Search.
Ed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ed McMahon.
There you go.
Well, at least he would show up.
Only it wasn't.
At least he would show up on the commercials.
Right.
Well, according to Publishers Clearinghouse, they have never had a representative.
Really?
That's what they say.
I think
Rift in the Matrix.
I remember clearly watching Ed McMahon, and not necessarily.
That's what everyone says, but. Right. Publishers Clearinghouse says no, they never had a representative.
Well, I mean,
could they be
classifying him as something else, like a spokesman, and they're not.
Well, they're saying they never. They're essentially saying they never had Ed McMahon. You know.
So he just wagged the dog, pretty much.
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm not convinced of this man. I feel like, you know, Publishers Clearinghouse has been around a long time.
Yep.
I think the current hipster generation or whatever who are running it now just don't remember.
Huh.
So
yeah, man. I don't think we ever had like a spokesman, did we?
Well, it was a long time ago. I'm sure half the people that work for Publishers Clearinghouse now weren't alive when Ed McMahon was, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying.
By the way, Nelson Mandela died December 5th, 2013.
Oh, I was right about 2013.
Yep, and not in jail. I remember when his release came because it was a huge deal. It was national.
I know. I remember it too.
Yeah, they had a
parade. You know,
I remember watching the parade for his release out of jail. That was a huge deal for him to get out of jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why when you said he died in jail, I'm like, I didn't think that.
Right.
Yeah. No, I did not say he died in jail. The people who think that we've had a shift in the Matrix or whatever
think that he died in jail.
Think he's died in jail. Yeah. No, I remember. And I mean, I think in a way that's it. I think it's selective memory.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to read this thing to you about Ed McMahon. because I'm looking up everything that you're saying.
Mike's tearing it up on the computer.
I don't like to not be right. So I'm gonna if I'm wrong, that's fine, but I'm gonna prove it.
I remember Ed McMahon.
Yeah, so I do too.
It says here on his Wikipedia page, he also hosted the original Star Search from 1983 to 1995, co-hosted TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes with Dick Clark from 1982 to 1998, and also presented sweepstakes for the direct marketing company American Family Publishers, not as is commonly believed its main rival Publishers Clearinghouse.
So,
there you go.
Just selective memory.
Selective memory. Yep.
Yep. But I've even gotten, I've gotten before, because thank God they stopped, but I've gotten the envelopes. Like, you could be the next, you know, $10 million winner or whatever.
Yeah, from PCH.
It even said Ed McMahon could be presenting you personally with this check. It had Ed McMahon, like, on the envelope for Publishers Clearinghouse.
I know.
Life is a lie.
Essentially. It's not me. It's these people who talk about the Mandela effect. Another one is something to do with how many people were riding in JFK's car when he got assassinated. There was supposed to be four, but then there's pictures that show six. And
I would have said
there's four. There's the driver, the guy in the front seat, and then him and Jackie O in the back.
That's what I thought.
Well, that's what, yeah, I think that's the truth. But, I mean, I think the picture that they use, the people who are promoting or this Mandela effect, I think they're actually showing JFK's, not JFK, Lyndon Johnson's car, which was also there. Okay. I think that one had six people in it.
Could have.
There are people out there who are trying to lie to me about my life being a lie?
Yes. Yes.
Fascinating.
So I'm wondering, okay, so I got to ask this. So the Mandela effect, because I have not heard of this before either, but is there like a strong following of that? Or is this like a real, real fringe thing?
No, there's a strong following of it.
Is there really?
I mean, it is a fringe thing, but it's thing.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, there's like a strong enough following that there are people walking around like getting argumentative over in line at Starbucks waiting to get their coffee about how many people were in the car of JFK.
Yeah.
That's pre-coffee, Dave.
No. I'm just saying because I'm thinking if we all died in 2012, I got hurt after 2012. If I'm dead, I can't be hurt. So I need all this pain to just go away. That's what
we're in a parallel universe now. We just rolled over into the next universe. Two. Yeah.
Earth 2. I don't want to be on Earth 2.
That's right.
If I'm on Earth 2, I want to be happy, healthy, and not have any pain or aches or anything. I just want to be like, whoo, let's just run forward, have a great time, and live our lives to the fullest every day, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah, can do that.
Yeah, you didn't change, Dave. The Earth did.
Huh. I'm not feeling the love on that. Yeah, I'm not feeling the love on that. So,
in all my parallel universes, I am very thin. This is the only particular universe where I am not. Which reminds me, with this Nelson Mandela or Mandela effect, also our bodies are supposed to be different than they used to be. Like our livers are higher and our kidneys are in a different place and our hearts shifted. And there may be something to that, because when I was in my 20s, I got a tattoo on my back and now it's down on my butt.
I'm not going
just
there.
Slid Dana. On down.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Yeah, we could have a lot of fun with this topic.
Yeah.
are these people also is like the a sub a subgroup of these Mandela effect people also the flat earthers?
Some of them, yep. I'm like really shocked at flat earthers. There is like a whole subgroup that truly believe that.
I am totally okay with that because I came up with the idea a year ago that we are going to sell them insurance that if they ever walk off the edge of the planet Earth, that we will pay an exorbitant amount of money to them. But they have to prove that they walked off the edge of the Earth. And we're going to charge them premiums the whole entire time until they fall off the edge of the Earth.
Have they come up with an explanation for that of why we don't fall off the edge of the Earth if we're the flat Earth?
No, not at all.
No, I have not heard a single explanation that made sense. No.
I think the only thing they could ever say is we just haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
Well, how about the hollow Earth people? Could we put the hollow Earth people and the flat Earth people like in a big convention room together and see what they come up with?
Heck yeah. Wait, and you can put Mike in there as a hollow moon person.
No, I'm not a
because
hollow
Mike
moon
thinks
person.
That I'm, Mike I'm thinks that the moon is the headquarters of Thanos.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know that the moon is a man-made satellite, and we never landed on it. So.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I can see it every evening. I'm kind of thinking it's not a satellite. It looks pretty big.
I said it's a spaceship.
I'm just throwing out some of the ideas I have found on the alternative side of the net, I will say.
So I have not heard this hollow Earth theory. Obviously, I'm sure the name is pretty self-explanatory.
Well, yeah, it's a UFO. It's we talked a little bit. Just we barely touched on it during the UFO thing we did, where they can land in the ocean, and then there's a thing in the ocean where they can go down, and then they go into basically what is their planet, their base or whatever, right? And there isn't molten lava and magma and a core and everything else. It's just it's an empty thing with like for an alien being station, and then we are the camouflage on the outside of it.
And also, there's supposed to be an opening at one of the poles. I don't remember if it's the North Pole or the South Pole, but at one of the poles there. And evidently, who was that guy who explorer, Admiral Byrd?
Yeah.
He saw them. He saw it.
He saw the UFOs?
No, he saw the opening to the hollow Earth.
Wow.
There in the North or South Pole, wherever they were.
Did he get any photos?
And now they say, you know, Nazis live in there.
Oh, the Nazis.
I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. These are theories.
I know you're not making it up, but I don't think that you have it in you to make up such crap.
But there are people that believe this. Therefore, it's a topic of conversation.
Absolutely, it is.
Huh.
We're informing your public.
No,
who knows? We could change somebody's life.
No, you're definitely not informing the public.
No.
you're doing something to the public, but in information is not it.
Well, here's the deal, though, right? This is causing the gray matter to spark. In some people, somebody's gray matter is sparking going, what? Wait a minute, what? What did she just say? And that is the whole point of the show for me, as it has been from day one, is to get your brain fired up and maybe have to stop what you're doing and go investigate something that we say.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
has always been my goal from day one. So... I think it's wonderful.
And okay, me too. I just want to get people thinking and pondering and, as my cousin used to say, what do it mean? What do it all mean?
Well, in that case, I would like to throw out there that the sausage that McDonald's uses for their sausage McMuffins is really possum meat.
Okay. Possum meat?
Possum meat. Just go out and investigate that.
Okay.
My family, my father's family used to eat possum during the Depression.
I believe a lot of people ate possum during the Depression.
I totally do not believe that in any way, shape, or form, Dana. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, they did. Possum and raccoon, they still eat it down south.
I'm not saying that I don't believe people did that. I'm saying I don't believe that her family did.
Oh,
that.
Okay. I was going to say, because people still eat possum and raccoon today.
Yes, I'm sure yes. They do.
Yes.
And now they're on reality shows on you know, the Travel Channel.
Right. Well, some of them might be, but I'm just saying.
Is there a roadkill cooking show?
No, but there should be.
Yeah, I agree. There should be.
There should be a
roadkill cooking show.
That's what she just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
I that's actually been one of my goals for the past, I don't know, 10 years, that whenever I got rich, I was going to open up a string of restaurants that were doomed to fail, that were just going to be there to entertain me. And one of them was going to be the Roadkill Cafe. You kill it, we grill it.
That's an old t-shirt.
Is it?
Yeah.
Been I thought it was an old joke. It was an old joke that I heard in high school that I've always loved.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's been around for a long time. And it was a great idea, Dana. Great minds think alike, because I didn't hear you say it. but I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, they should have like a roadkill a cooking show. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, we're plugged in.
Yeah.
Although I'm surprised. I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because just before the show, I went on my Twitter and John Tenney had put up this, somebody had photoshopped this thing together and said, I'm sure the show has already been proposed, but it was like Guy Chevy or whatever the hell his name
Guy
is.
Fieri.
Guy Fieri and another guy in a show called Eating Bigfoot.
Got to find him first.
Well, that was the premise of the show, was that they found him and then spent the next couple seasons finding all different ways of
cooking them
horrifically.
Cryptid cooking. That should be.
Cryptid cooking. I like that. That's nice.
Cryptid cooking. Like, you know, around here we have the Snallygaster, which is a flying cryptid. So that could be like the chicken.
Nice.
Bird-like.
Yeah.
Bigfoot. Yeah. Beefy.
Yep.
Cooking with Rachel Ray. I can see it.
Have you ever heard a sheep squatch?
No.
I'm not making it up.
It's like part Bigfoot, somebody has. Part sheep?
Yeah. It's like a big, woolly, furry, white, sheep-like Bigfoot, a sheep. It's not Goatman.
Right. So Bigfoot got extremely horny one day and decided to become desperate and went after a sheep, and this is the product?
No, I think this is a whole nother species.
Oh, so it's not cryptid. The offspring. It's not the offspring of a sheep Sasquatch and a sheep.
Right.
Okay. No, it's a whole nother cryptid. You know, where I grew up, and I grew up in Beltsville, Maryland, we had the Bowie Goat Man.
Heard of that.
Who was, he's a little well known.
But has anybody gotten any sort of evidence of him, or is he just the urban legend?
He's just a legend now. There at times there were sightings. See, out there in Beltsville, Maryland, the government, because it's not too far from, it's, I don't know, 10 miles from Washington, D.C., the government owned thousands of acres. I mean, thousands of acres. And the Department of Agriculture Experimental Research Facility was out there. And, you know, they had a bunch of, animals. They had entomology. They had animal husbandry. And they had lots, acres and acres of plants. They were, and vegetables and things. They were doing whatever they were doing to them. And so that's where the rumor started that the Bowie Goat Man was a experiment gone wrong on the government farm. That's what we locals used to call it, the government farm.
Nice.
So that is a segue to the next episode of Random Shit with Dana Mitchell right there.
And it has to be because we're out of time.
Right. That is a perfect segue to the next show of government conspiracy creatures created on farms.
Okay.
That's getting really specific, and this is Random Shit with Dana Mitchell.
Sorry. We'll let Dana decide if that's a good idea or not, and then she can run with it.
Yeah, I can tell you about life on the government farm.
Nice.
There you go.
So that does it for us here tonight.
Well, thank you all so much for having me.
Oh, it was absolute pleasure.
Know how you always make me feel I have some value in the world.
You absolutely have value to us, Dana. Yeah. So that does it for us. Dave and I will be back next week with another new episode. So tune in then. Until then, everybody have a great week.
Goodbye.